And last but not least, you remember the Philistines had taken the Ark of God when the children of Israel had used it as a magic wand. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
They said, if we bring the Ark of God in, then that's going to give us victory over the Philistines. Beloved, we cannot use God as a magic wand to meet my circumstances when I need him, and to give me victories, and to help me at school, and to give me good grades, and give me a great job. We can't use him that way. He's not available in that fashion.
Amen.
So let's not even attempt to use him that way. He's not of convenience for us. He has one purpose to promote, and it is his own purpose. And he's going to do it in us on his ground. And we saw that in Gideon. And Gideon was able to declare, I'm the least, I'm the weakest. That was when God was able to use him. So the Philistines had used the ark as a magic wand. And what happens? They were absolutely defeated. The ark was taken. Ark was now removed out of its rightful place. No longer, as it were, in Shiloh in its rightful place, but removed completely. And in the hands of the enemy. Now, do we want what is of God to be in the hands of the enemy? Absolutely not. But while it is in the hands of the enemy, God is going to vindicate himself. He's going to vindicate himself. They take the ark and bring it into their God's house. Dagon, the god of the Philistines, into the house of Dagon, and set God's ark up alongside Dagon. Dagon, we're told, was a combination of a fish-like character and a man. And he was supposed to be the god of the Philistines, the god that they bowed down to. And they had the nerve to take the ark of God that speaks of the greatness of God, the presence of God, the glory of God, and to bring it into their god's house. God will maintain his supremacy.
Mm.
He will maintain his right. He will make sure that what is of himself will be maintained. Even when we are in abject failure to maintain what is for God, God is going to make sure that he maintains it. So the next day, where is Dagon? Dagon is on the floor.
Mm.
The ark of God is standing supremely, and Dagon is on the floor. He had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of Jehovah. In one sense, even Dagon recognizes who gets supremacy, because he's on his face. Not that he's worshipping God, but in the disposition that he's in, it demonstrates that no one else has supremacy in the presence of God. Dagon doesn't have it. The God over all, blessed forever, has supreme authority. And so they come in, they pick up Dagon again and set him up again. And what happens again? He falls to the ground on his face and his head comes off. It is the head of man that must always be removed, because there can only be one head, and that is Christ and Christ supreme. Oh, this evening, sorry that I've taken more time than I anticipated, but oh, this evening, I trust that the burden of my own heart might be the burden of your heart, that there might be the throwing down in each and every one of us whatever there is of a Baal character. As I said, I don't know what it is for you. I really don't. We each know, some more serious than others, but nevertheless, if there is something that has supremacy, even if it's small supremacy that it has, it still has to be removed, so that the supremacy and rights of Christ might prevail.